Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Shout out to the Beasties. High noon in the District of Columbia. Excited to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Talk to our boy, Mr. Ben Standig. You should check out his Substack as well as his podcast, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, Last Man Standig. What's up, Benny? How you doing?
JP, thanks for the plug. I'm doing great. Glad to have gotten at least a little bit of sleep since that. LA, so feeling better today, finally.
All right.
You haven't caught up with your sleep yet, man? What the hell? What kind of fright you have?
Not a young man anymore, B. Mitch. All this traveling is a young man's game. It's all right. At least the schedule is normal.
You young dudes better stop complaining about not being young. You're young, Ben.
I love the fact that you think I am, but I appreciate that.
Coming out of the Chargers game, where it looked bad early and they completely turned it around to win by more than two touchdowns, what is your biggest takeaway on the positive side and the negative side?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think on the positive side, it's almost not what happened in the game. It's what I can see going forward in that, you know, look, obviously Jaden coming back and playing an effective game, but where he was more, I've been saying he was more smart than spectacular, and we know he's got the spectacular, and I mean smart from the perspective of sliding when needed to instead of going for the extra yard, throwing the ball away, not always trying to make the superhero play yet still delivering when he had to. Like, we know he can do a lot of these things, but like, okay, good sign of growth there in year two. But then you factor in, we've already seen, you know, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt have some success, but they had not yet sort of unleashed him. And to a certain degree, that happened. I mean, they still have a long way to go. He only played 28 snaps, so basically half their snaps. But we saw what he can do. And, like, we have not seen the full version of this offense with Jaden, with Bill, with a healthy Terry, with this new offensive line that's been pretty good the last couple of weeks. And whenever Terry gets back, man, like, this offense could be that, offer more of those big plays that they were looking for last year. So I think to me that was like the biggest takeaway from like a bigger picture perspective. Concerns, I mean, look, the you know, who knows what happens if Quan Martin doesn't force that fumble. The Chargers were on the verge of possibly making it 17-0. There were still, you know, some big plays allowed defensively, but, you know, they were able to make the plays and got the job done. So that's positive, but, you know, you still have to be a little concerned that we have not seen the defensive front have a really good game yet against a team that's got a good offensive line. The Chargers were missing people, as were the, you know, the Giants and the Raiders. So I think that to me is still the question. And the, you know, the team they're about to play has been really good protecting their quarterback. So we'll see how all that goes. But yeah, you got to feel a lot better, obviously, coming out of this Chargers game than it certainly felt like it was going to be after the first quarter.
For sure, man. What did you think of Jaden's performance? I mean, to step in like that, first game back, pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the slow start is not something that was just on him. This is something we've been talking about with this team to a degree much of the season. But he, you know, clearly felt more and more in rhythm as the game went along. That last drive, you know, imposed will on the other team. He had a lot to do with that. And then, you know, it's just, look, Marcus Mariota did a heck of a job in relief, and, you know, he can help a team, certainly, but there are just some guys that have that little extra, and when Jaden is making some of the passes that he delivers, you know, the throw to Luke McCaffrey coming right off of the, you know, getting a break from the Chargers to then get that play and throw it down the field, and have, you know, not the guts to do it per se, but like have the willingness to do it, to not just take the check down, you know, in the shadow of your own end zone. I mean, that's what that guy can do. And every time he's on the field, they think they can win. And you can't, you know, PFF and True Media are not going to be able to capture what that means for this franchise. And I think that is something that was just bore out yesterday, and it has been that way since he's been here. So, you know, I think obviously from a pure production standpoint, he's got, you know, knocks maybe some more rust to knock off. And, you know, it hasn't quite looked like he did last year, but at the same point, this was a pretty impressive performance, again, from a smart perspective as well as just a reminder of what he's capable of in the big spots.
When they win, they seem to have dominant performances from the big guys. Do you think those guys can start to, like, stack those instead of being one game, then they're not, then one game, then they're not? Can they put two of those in a row?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me is, like, if we're going to talk about what the ceiling is for this group, I think that is going to be the key, because the defense has looked really good when they have been able to do that. I mean, this game was, you know, sort of a microcosm of the year. They start off slow. The Chargers are you know, doing various, off out of whack, out of the lanes, all that stuff, reminiscent of what we saw against Green Bay and Atlanta. But then once they got some momentum, they were the team that was able to make plays. So, look, this is a group that's going to have to get by based on energy more than they are pure talent. Having the offense consistently move the ball only helps the defense stay off the field, although in this game the time of possession was still heavily favored towards the Chargers. That's a big question, though, still. I mean, we have not seen them have the defensive front have a good game against an offensive line that's legit. So until that happens, I can't definitively say it will, but there have at least been constant signs, whether it's Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Johnny Newton has been highly efficient, Bobby Wagner. Like, there's reason to be optimistic, but we just haven't quite seen it yet, and that's, I think, the next step for that defensive front.
I tend to agree with you, man. It's when they're good, they're really good, and when they aren't, it's just kind of gone the other way. What do you think? One of the most curious things for me, we're talking with our friend Ben Standig here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, Ben covers Commanders. Check out his Substack and the Last Man Standig podcast. Bill has shown real explosion. He's really good cutting. There's just a lot that Bill does really, really well. And yet, I don't totally trust that he has emerged as the RB1. Like some do. What do you make of Bill kind of taking over?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, in this game, he had 28 snaps, or roughly half the overall offensive snaps, which is not, like, that's not an RB1 number. That was the guy who was leading the way for this group. And I think to some degree, like, this is the next step here, like more of this. Like, he's going to get, you know, dominated touches for most of the game. He got more of the workload, but they still don't want to, I think, overload him. You still want to have Jeremy McNichols out there as a guy who you're going to feel very confident will help you as a blocker, as a pass catcher when needed, just being a smart veteran on the field that, you know, when you need to hammer the ball up the middle, run up the clock, that Chris Rodriguez's strength may be more in line of what you're looking for. But in terms of, like, who's the guy, I think it's, like, this is the guy that they want. I mean, I said this on somebody's podcast earlier today that, you know, I was a big fan of the show Breaking Bad, and one of the themes was about half measures and full measures. You know, it's not just enough to say you want to do something or start to do something. You've got to finish it. They moved on from Brian Robinson in part because they were looking for bigger plays out of the backfield. He was more of a singles doubles hitter, not necessarily a home run threat, and they wanted more of that. Bill is definitely that, but they've been slow playing a little bit because, you know, look, he's a seventh-round rookie, didn't play last year in college. He still has some things to learn, like pass protection. But over time, for this thing to reach its ceiling and for them to go from half measure to full measure, he has to play more and more. And I think that's what we saw this week. I think that's what makes it so exciting for this offense, because they didn't have that guy last year. They had the other pieces. They didn't have him. Plus, they also didn't have Debo. But to get a guy like Bill, I just think could make this thing really special and a lot of fun.
For sure, man. What are you hearing about Terry? I think there's reason for optimism, but we don't yet know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a reason for optimism, right? He didn't go on IR, let alone have surgery, if that was really up for debate, which means that they think he would be back, you know, within 4 weeks. It's been 2 weeks. So, you know, this is a week where they must have thought, okay, he could be back. He could be back now, you know, so he's gotten the 2 weeks that they've had, you know, they get the extra day for what that's worth. So I think there is some reason to be optimistic, but that's a long way to go. You know, we'll see if he's out there on the field when they start practicing for real, tomorrow, I guess, or we'll see whatever Dan Quinn wants to tell us today in a little bit. But hopefully he can get out there. You know, I know they don't want to, you know, muck it up so that he's like got some lingering issue over the course of the season. That could be more problematic than anything. But at the same time, yeah, I think there's got to be some optimism about him possibly getting back out there this week.
You watch Luke. You watch Jalen Lane get some opportunities. I know Terry being out, you want him to be here. But them getting this level of experience while he's been out, can that be something that helps them down the stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, neither guy has emerged as sort of the de facto number two receiver. I mean, based on snaps, Chris Moore has been that guy, you know, next to or opposite Debo or near Debo in terms of that spot, but he's produced nothing statistically. But he's, you know, a veteran guy, has got speed, can play that X spot. These other two kids, like, they're not natural outside receivers, so they're sort of going to have to learn that. But ironically, because of the way they're being used, i.e. not tons and tons of snaps, it's kind of going to they'll use whenever Terry and Noah Brown are back. Can you make can we get you isolated on a defensive back, scheme up a situation like they did with Luke McCaffrey where the safeties pull up and now Jaden can throw the ball to the entire left side of the field and allow Luke to run under it. Not only did Luke do that on the 50-yard catch, but he made a fantastic catch on the play. That's the type of play he's going to have to make when Terry comes back, because that's what he'll be getting. Not a lot of volume, but those moments. And then Jalen Lane, you know, he had on the 3rd and 16, gets a 16-yard catch. We know the speed. You know, I think in Atlanta he was on the verge of a pretty big game. It just didn't quite happen. So I think this is definitely a really good experience, but also in ways that they're going to be used whenever McLaurin and Noah Brown come back. I think that's as big, that's as important as anything.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Noah Brown this week. You know what I mean? Because if he can't go this week, it's been 4 weeks, and you wonder kind of what decisions maybe should have been made, and maybe that doesn't matter, right? Like, I'll be very interested to see what happens with Noah. I think getting Terry back on the field would have the biggest impact. What concerns you most about this matchup with the Bears coming to town?
I mean, you know, the Bears' offensive line has definitely improved over last year. They went out and, just similar to what Washington did, they went out and added, you know, whereas Washington went out and added tackles, the Bears added interior offensive linemen, and, you know, those vets have helped make Caleb Williams' life a lot easier. I think, honestly, so. I think there's so much intrigue here. Obviously, the two quarterbacks going head-to-head. But, you know, I am sure Ben Johnson wants to make it very clear to everybody paying attention that they didn't lose that playoff game in Detroit last year against Washington because of his play calling. They had over 500 yards of offense. He's not the one who made all those turnovers. And I imagine there's a certain amount of screw you that he's going to come into this with, plus on top of the criticism he faced for ditching them at the interview and all these things. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to work or that it matters. I mean, Dan Quinn and this defense, I'm going to be like, hey, this guy, the heck with this guy. We beat them last year. whatever he thinks is going on, don't worry about it. But I'm sure Ben Johnson is going to have, coming off a bye, has dialed up an extraordinary amount of trick plays or plays to try to fool the defense with some eye candy, whatever it is. I think that's going to be really intriguing, on top of like their interior offensive line against Washington's defensive tackles.
But you know what? He did keep calling the pass plays. He did stop running a guy who was chalking up about 8-9 yards a carry. So yep. He does have some fault, and he's not exempt from it. You know, no, he didn't throw the passes, but hell, when you got somebody running 8 yards a carry, but you insist on tossing, hey, and then now they see that you're not running the ball and you're throwing it, you can become one-dimensional. Any defense can stop you or make plays against you. So.
No, 100%. I mean, he definitely had some fault. I think everybody from the Washington perspective was like, really? No Jahmyr Gibbs again on this play? Sweet. Thank you for that. They don't have a Jahmyr Gibbs guy here, but DeAndre Swift is certainly an effective running back. But, he's not without fault, but he's also arrogant enough to believe he's not without fault. Or that he is without fault. So we'll see how that plays out.
It's going to be fun, man. Is there any specific the dude that kind of worries me in this is Roma Dunze. Is there anybody that you've got your eye on kind of getting into this matchup?
Well, you know, DJ Moore, and I've not really watched their tape yet to see what's going on, but like DJ Moore, who obviously is a really good receiver. He doesn't even have 200 yards receiving yet on the season, yet this was a guy who, since 2019, I believe his 230-yard performance against Washington on that national TV game in 2023 is the most that any single player has had in a game, which is obviously everything is different with both of these teams in terms of coaching and personnel and all that, but that guy is due for a breakout, it feels like, and the Chargers went for Ladd McConkey last week and tried to get him a breakout game. He had a touchdown, and I would imagine that DJ Moore, in part because of what you just said, Adunze has been the one that's been crushing it. Got to figure DJ Moore's due for something, so I'm a little concerned that maybe that something comes this week.
Isn't that America?
DJ Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
We don't need the Terp doing anything this week.
We just need to let the Terps handle business Saturday and deal with the rest of it.
Get him go play with them on Saturday. Skip the game Sunday.
All right, Benny. We'll see you out here in just a minute, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Always, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, bro.
All right. That is Ben Standig joining us. DJ Moore is a concern. We haven't done it yet this week, but it's time to look around the league. Power rankings. Where do the Commanders stack up? Going to hear from Dan Quinn in about a half hour. Going to hear from Joe Beninati previewing the Caps season and season opener tonight. Nobody go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet. Bet $5. And if you win, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style. FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is finally here, and the only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download the FanDuel app today and get started. That's Brian. FanDuel, sportsbook of the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Only 106.7 The Fan. On Wednesdays on the B. Mitch and Finley program, we like to go through the power ranks. We try to be consistent, so we go with Adam I'm sorry, we go with Eric Edholm, NFL.com. He writes them every week. Pretty savvy guy. In fact, if you go back and look at the Commander, I mean, all these NFL teams have gotten good at this, but the teams love to point out when all the experts pick a different, pick one team to win and then the other team wins. Well, the Commanders tweeted this out on the NFL.com writers and analysts. Only one picked Washington to win in L.A., and I believe it was Eric Edholm. And it's something the Commanders tweeted out and just kind of poked some fun with it. Yeah. If you look at this.
You know somebody going to be upset about that.
Well, not Eric Edholm because he
I am, but I'm just saying, like, those people like to pick. But when somebody calls it out on them, then they got a problem with that. But don't pick publicly then.
Right.
You know?
This is the business we've chosen.
Yeah.
All right, so no more undefeated teams in the NFL, B. Who's your top team in the league?
I said the Eagles still.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They said Detroit. Edholm put Detroit at number one, Eagles at number two. You're just not concerned of the offensive issues Philly has?
No. Nah.
Just confident they'll get it right.
I'm not concerned about the offensive issues. I still think that they got a defense that can disrupt the hell out of people.
Interesting.
Give them a chance.
Yeah. They're now through five games now. They're 4-1. They are 12th in scoring, 16th in points allowed. 12th in scoring, 30th in yards gained.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Horrible. But they're 12th in scoring. See, I told you I watched that little thing last night.
First, the turnovers are not giving the ball away.
I watched that thing last night.
Yeah.
The 30 for 30 with the Ravens. They were horrible in scoring. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I know it happens every blue moon, but defense, as long as you got a defense, you got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, their defense this year isn't as good as last year, but it's still relatively early in the season. I'm not saying we need to move Philly way down, but Philly at two seems fair. What would be your top five? Because there's a bunch of teams at 4-1 now.
I still think the Bills. I mean, the Bills are still good. I'm more concerned about Green Bay than what I know Neil and other people like Green Bay. I like what's my team right there? Tampa. Let's go. They're playing their butts off, man, so I got to give them their credit now.
So you're saying Philly, Detroit, Buffalo.
Detroit, Buffalo, Tampa, that's four.
Yeah, and you want Green Bay five?
I don't know if I'm going to put Green Bay five. I may put Seattle before Green Bay at this point.
Interesting. So you and Edholm think a lot alike. He goes Detroit, Philly, Buffalo, Tampa, Seattle number five. Seattle just lost to Tampa at home. You know, Darnold throws a late pick.
Green Bay came out on fire.
Yeah.
They had just made the trade. Everybody was excited. They have come back down to earth quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't.
There's a bunch of teams, though, with better records.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Jacksonville.
I'm still not. I told you I like what Wichcomb did tonight. I'm not completely sold on Jacksonville. And then when I look at San Fran, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep doing this with all those injuries.
What about Indy?
I'm not going to put them in it right now. Top five, I'm not putting them there.
No, I think that's fair. But at some point, doesn't the conversation change for Indy when they just look like that complete of a team versus just having questions about the quarterback?
You know, Indy could remind me of right now very much Minnesota last year.
Yeah.
They were exceptional throughout the year. When they got down to the rough things, then they faltered big time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, they're sitting at 4-1, but you don't
best
you don't
go, point differential in the NFL.
Fine, but you don't go to Super Bowl for 4-1. You go to Super Bowl for 16, 17 game seasons, and then you got to now revamp and come back. So I don't know that yet. Now they have a running game, but I'm not sure. And he's had his nicks over the years. If something happened to him, then Daniel Jones going to carry him?
I don't know that one. Jonathan Taylor's been really, really good. I really like Tampa at 4-1. I do think the Bucks could win the NFC. I think the NFC is much more open because I don't think Detroit and Philly were dominant in a way that they were last year. I think Tampa can be a factor. I think Seattle can be a factor. Green Bay, L.A., and I still think Washington could be a factor.
Yeah. They have to get more consistent, though.
Totally.
Yeah.
And especially on the defensive front. So, at home, NFL.com goes Lions, Eagles, Bills, Bucks, Seahawks, Packers, Rams, Colts, and then the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading now. If you're a Commanders fan, this was exactly the kind of performance you wanted to see from Jaden Daniels after the face of the franchise missed two games. It was also the kind of defense I wasn't sure Washington was capable of playing. But by golly, the Quentin Johnston fumble on, and that unit was locked in. Furthermore, this was a breakout game for Jacory Kroski-Merritt, who went from contributor to undisputed RB1. Even after the rookie's fourth quarter fumble, the Commanders kept feeding him, which told me they believe in the 24-year-old who goes by Bill. There have been some bumpy parts to the road so far this season, but the Commanders are sitting at 3-2 and suddenly in good shape again after their first road win of the year. A tough pack of games is in front of them, but it feels like they're back on the upswing after a statement win. You feel the same?
I'm with that.
I am too. You know, it felt kind of similar after the Raiders win, and then you go to Atlanta and get thumped. So, at some point, you got to string more.
They have to get the consistency going, and like they've been like this. They've been on some rolling hills. They got to find a way to find the flat ground somewhere and just get them one, like two, three games in a row.
Right. Do you think
– then you'll be taken very serious.
Is this a stretch where they can maybe pull off three in a row? So, you beat L.A., then you've got – Chicago
home. Here to Dallas. It's possible.
That would get to 4-2 before you worry about 5-2.
Yeah.
But you'd like to stack some wins here. I think KC on the road on Monday night is going to be a difficult game.
Will be.
Doesn't mean you can't win it. There's no rule against winning difficult games.
Yes, you got to match them, man. I mean, that's the thing about it. The thing about Pat. Pat will scramble around, hold on to it. He can hurt you with his legs. They were talking about it the other night. The guy, when you see him, you don't say, oh, this dude going to break it. But, hell, he was the leading rusher on the football team. He was the leading rusher in that game. Because you don't suspect that he's going to hurt you with his legs. Everyone knows how he can throw the ball, how he can dice you up. But he also will pull it down and give you that little funny Pat Mahomes run and get first downs on you all day.
For sure.
So
he does. Your little impression of how he runs was kind of funny. Continuing on just with the power rankings, right after Washington is Denver. Denver got a really good win against the Eagles on the road.
Yeah.
Do you think that win is kind of a spark for Denver to keep it going?
It could be. If they can build off of it. You know, sometimes you go out there and you get those wins and – then the next week you falter because you're still happy that you knocked off that team.
Totally.
You know, so it's going to come down to what they do the next game.
I think Jacksonville's similar, right? Like, that win in Jacksonville seems super important.
They haven't beat them in how many years? How long?
I don't know. A lot.
They could be down there throwing a party, a parade. You never know.
Right. It's awesome you were able to get that win. Undeniably a big win for perhaps most of all your quarterback to go on the road like that and kind of prove it. But you got to keep stacking them for it to matter. If you think about Denver, B, and I don't know, is Denver playing overseas this week? My guess is they are because it's a 9:30 kickoff.
Right, it got to be.
So Denver just beat Philly in Philly. So, boys, look that up for me if this is a overseas game. But they go Philly, then the Jets, then the Giants. Like, you'd like to think if you're a legit good team, that's three in a row for you, and then all of a sudden the Broncos look very legit if that record stretches to 5-2.
London.
Okay. So Broncos, Jets, and London.
At Wembley?
Maybe. They also play at the Tottenham Stadium, I think. Jags at 11. Your Kansas City Chiefs at 12.
Mm.
Seem fair?
Yeah. Kansas City going to have something to say in the end. I'm just letting you know.
It's funny because prior to the Jacksonville game, I think Kansas City probably creeps back up into the top five,
top seven.
If they
had won that game, they would have jumped.
Well, I think people were starting to really buy into KC again, and then they lost, and people were like, oh.
But think about it.
That's not what happens.
They're two and three.
Yeah.
And when you –
two more weeks without
and,
Rice.
And we had Neil on earlier. Neil had him higher than 12.
I think he had him like fourth.
Okay. So people understand – you may get those games every once in a while, like they lost to Jacksonville, but that team is going to be a problem down the stretch.
Niners at 13. They have so many injuries, it's hard to know what the hell San Fran is, but they also just keep winning games.
Yeah.
Do you think they will allow a Mac Jones, Brock Purdy quarterback situation?
If you're paying one guy over $50 million a year, no. You're going to just bench him? Listen, not many people think like the man down in Atlanta. Okay, when you're making that type of money, you're gonna be earning it. You're not gonna just be getting it. You got to be on the field playing.
It's
that's why they call it starting quarterback money.
Right.
They don't call it sitting on the bench quarterback money.
All right, we'll run through the rest of the NFL power ranks. Where's Dallas? Where are the Giants? Dallas is interesting to me just because I think that tie will end up mattering late in the year if they're hanging around for a wild card spot. Dallas exactly 500 through five games, 2-2-1. Let's figure out where they are in the power ranks as well as a bad New York Giants team. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Seven, the fan. We're looking at our weekly check-in with the NFL power rankings. 1 through 13, we go with the same list every week just for consistency.
Yeah.
Lions at 1, Eagles at 2, Commanders land at 9, which seems pretty fair. And until they're able to consistently just string two games together in
back
a row.
Back to back.
Right?
Yep.
I think 9 sounds about right.
I'm with that.
The lowest rated 4-1 team is the Niners. They just have so many injury questions. B, where do you think the Cowboys are going to land?
Cowboys are going to land right about 15.
They have them at 20.
20?
Yeah.
I would say if they're at 20, I'm saying this. They can score. They can't stop nobody.
They looked really bad in the loss to the Bears, but outside of that, they've looked pretty damn good.
They score a lot of points.
And I think
they give up a lot of points, Jay.
When does CeeDee Lamb come back?
Don't know. And when he come back, will he still be as effective as he was?
I don't know. I mean, Pickens is playing really well.
Pickens is going to play well. And Pickens, I just think Pickens eventually, he's been very good right now. Been very nice. Hadn't done anything wrong. I don't know how long that lasts.
Dude, where do you think the Ravens belong? 1-4.
They're 1-4 right now. Their defense is in shambles. They don't have arguably the most dangerous athlete in the league, Lamar. Hell, they could be at 24-25.
They have them at 22. I'll read this down. And who knows what shape Baltimore's defense will be in. Since 1990, 1-4 teams have made the playoffs only 12 times in 174 opportunities, a not-so-nice success rate of 7%. It's worth pointing out, though, until 3 years ago, only 6 teams made the playoffs. Now 7 teams make the playoffs, so that number is probably a little bit different, but still, uphill climb for sure.
Yeah.
There are some winnable games upcoming, and Baltimore is still unbeaten against the AFC North with 5 division games remaining. In other words, there's still hope, and the Ravens will get some players back soon. But with Derrick Henry struggling since the Buffalo fumble, and the defense a long way from respectability, it will take some pretty special circumstances to fully turn this season around.
I agree with that. But I think when you look at this thing, we talk so much about the young guys learning how to play this game and moving forward. Hell, the old guys got to do it too. Derrick Henry, he fumbled before. Now it's affecting him because he was discussing it so much. Dude, hold on to the damn ball. I mean, you've been doing it for years. Do it. Tiki Barber had a great fumbling problem. He solved it. He has to now get back to just running the football like he did. He had people afraid to tackle him.
Right.
He had people making business decisions. They come at him, they see him coming, they try to dive under the ground. Now, they're hitting him. They hit him and somebody else come for the ball. And he's not running as hard as he used to. He should be able to be the reason to keep them afloat while Lamar is out.
Agree with you. Where do you think the Giants belong? They just lost to the Saints.
The Saints should be above them then. I know the other day I put the Saints down below them. Put them in the Saints. Just toss a coin and say which one is going to be the worst.
They put the Saints up to 25. Man. Saints have been playing some – well, just tell me how much of this you disagree with. Saints at 25, Titans at 26. I mean, the way the Titans got their first win with a pick six, fumble six the other way.
They picked it. They caused a fumble.
So they go New Orleans 25, Tennessee 26, the Bengals 27. Now, I understand the Bengals have a ton of talent, and maybe that'll be different now that they've traded for Joe Flacco. Do you think the Flacco thing changes a lot for Cincy?
If Joe throwing the ball as soon as he come out the huddle, because he has the weapons to be able to do something. He could resurrect a career with some of them, but is his arm still jumpy enough to be able to do what they need him to do? Because if they can get a running game with a play-action passing game, because that's what he was unbelievable at when they won the Super Bowl.
Deep shots, yeah.
You know, and he has receivers that they can go get it for him. They'll go up and get it. They'll do all kind of things. But I don't know if Joe is still that guy that he was.
Reading now, the Giants come in at 28.
Okay.
The Jackson Dart fan club likely added a few members on Sunday after he hit Theo Johnson for a pair of touchdown passes, with the Giants leading 14-3 in his first road start. I add parenthetically, they were up 14-3 on New Orleans and lost. He was also buying time and picking up yards with his legs. Things were looking good, but the Giants' secondary fell apart and the offense did the same, turning it over on five straight possessions, six if you count the fourth down stop in the final minute. Four of the turnovers came in New Orleans territory, including Cam Scataboo's giveaway that was run back for a game-sealing score. Scataboo tried to blame his gloves, by the way, B.
Who picked the gloves?
Dart was guilty of three turnovers, all in the second half. Malik Nabers isn't out there, and the Giants know they must endure some growing pains from Dart, but it doesn't make the loss easier to swallow. With their next 10 games coming against teams currently 500 or better, it's not obvious where the Giants' next win will come.
He blamed his gloves.
I've been asking this question for a month. The next time Washington faces the Giants will be December 14th. Is Brian Daboll coaching?
Probably not. Because I know one person that want him gone before they start thinking about him. Shane. He'll be like, look, yeah, man, it's the coach, bro. We got to let him go.
There is one team winless in the NFL. J-E-T-S.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking D.C. sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.